All right, welcome to the Crossover Cellist. I'm your host, Lewis Patzner, and today my guest is Matt Montgomery. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks.
Matt, you are a jack of many musical trades, if I'm not mistaken. Play vocals.
I play the vocals.
You play the vocals?
Mean vocals.
You sing piano?
I sing the piano.
You play violin, viola, guitar, mandolin. I'm looking around
some
here.
Bass in
little,
there
yeah,
too.
Little bass. You are a composer, arranger.
I dabble in everything. You know, and I like to think everything informs everything else a little bit.
Absolutely.
You know,
but, yeah. Where are you from, Matt?
I grew up on the mean streets of Marin County.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Like Tupac.
Just like Tupac. That's
And
yeah, went to school down south at CalArts near
sure.
LA and bounced around a little bit. Now I'm back in the Bay Area here in Alameda,
yeah.
where we are right now.
Yeah. And we know each other from, I was trying to think, and I should have looked it up. Like 2007, 8, something
yeah,
like
something
that. We shared a band member, John Bush.
Oh, that's right. John played bass in my band and drums in your band.
Yeah. And did he end up playing drums for you too and guitar maybe? Did he always play bass?
No, he always played bass.
Yeah. John was the drummer for Judgment Day. I don't know when
we shared a couple bills and
yeah,
had him
exactly.
jumping back and forth.
Yeah, exactly.
Shout out to John Bush out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't remember exactly when that was, but it was back in the day.
Yeah.
And more recently, we've done a couple of collaborations. I played on your orchestral song record, Petty Troubles.
Yeah.
And we've been playing together in the Composer Arranger Performer Orchestra.
Yeah, which is coming up.
Which is coming up. That's April 13th. So part of this podcast is we shamelessly promote our stuff.
Great.
That's what it's about. That's why it exists.
I've been described as shameless before. So.
Okay, fantastic. And so Composer Arranger Performer Orchestra is a group where we play our own stuff. It's a string orchestra, and we play our own material, whether it's original or arranged music. We're doing an arrangement of yours. This is a Punch Brothers song?
This was actually a tune written by Josh Ritter, who is not that well known from what I looked into him. I saw the Punch Brothers performing this song,
yeah.
Another New World, live.
Yeah, right.
And I think their version is by far the most popular. But, this guy Josh Ritter wrote it. And, yeah, I made a string orchestra arrangement where I'm playing guitar, singing with accompaniment by the orchestra.
Yeah, yeah.
And
there's a little Rimsky-Korsakov in there.
Yeah, yeah. It's I'm borrowing a little bit, but
sure.
Trying to get that kind of sea voyage feel. It's about a man and his ship, and yeah, hard not to borrow from Scheherazade a little bit when you're trying to convey that imagery.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw recently that you you posted some. It was sort of like video game music, but original.
Yeah, I just. We're in my studio right now, and, you know, it's a converted garage, and I basically have been playing with video editing, so I have, like, my wife's camera, my GoPro, and my phone, and just setting them up around the room and recording myself playing different instruments and editing it together in hopefully creative ways.
Yeah.
And this one was kind of an 8-bit throwback thing with 8-bit drums and an 8-bit synth, but also some real guitar and bass on top. And
It was super fun.
Yeah, animated some background sort of. And
I'll put a link up on the description to
that. Yeah, it's kind of hard to describe, but
so yeah, so that kind of brings me to this question. Like, you're a multi-instrumentalist. Do you have, like, a something that is your main thing?
I mean, I'd say violin is my favorite mm-hmm. thing right now, because I'm still... that's what I'm pushing forward the most. I feel like I grew up a classical player,
yeah.
and then I started learning rock and jazz, bass and guitar.
Yeah.
And then the last 5 years or so, I've been trying to kind of incorporate that knowledge into my violin playing.
Yeah.
And there's still, you know, I've kind of plateaued on my guitar and bass playing, and I focus.
Once you're at the top, you know.
That's not exactly what I meant. But I'm not driven to be a shredding guitar player or bass player.
Right.
I like that I can groove and write solos and play all right, but you know, I can feel momentum in my violin playing going
yeah.
forward, and I feel driven yeah. to practice.
At what age did you start playing violin?
I was a little guy. I was 4.
Ooh, that's young.
Yeah.
Did you start violin before piano?
I think around the same time. My dad is a... Well, he hasn't taught for a long time, but was a piano teacher.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, my piano education was kind of like learning things with him at the piano here and there.
Uh-huh.
And I'd learn some pieces, but then I'd not drop it. But,
yeah.
you know, I never thought I'd be a concert pianist.
Sure.
My piano playing's still pretty limited to what I write for myself and, like, the 10 pieces I learned when I was a kid that I remember still.
Sure. Well, am I remembering that you did play keys in Versus Them?
For a while, actually. And actually, that's why John Bush ended up leaving the band, is that I'm a much better bass player than keyboard player. So basically, I found a guy, John Varn, who's an amazing keyboard player and pianist.
Oh, is he in The Billings Upon Us?
Yeah, I think, yeah, he was in that, yeah.
Band's called? That's a cool band.
Yeah, I was really into them.
And he would shred on the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah, he could shred, he can.
Yeah.
I just saw him a couple weeks ago, actually. But haven't played with him in a long time, but...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, also great as a, you know, he can shred in a sort of progressive group like Billions Upon Us, but he can also take songwriter stuff and just knows exactly where to fit in and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so I had a similar relationship with, you know, being a multi-instrumentalist where I was taking... Well, first I started piano lessons, I think when I was 5 or 6, and then I started cello when I was 7, and then I shortly dropped piano. And then I picked up trombone, and my dad is a professional trombone player. I played trombone in the school band because they didn't have a string program, they had a band program.
Gotcha. I have never heard you play trombone or any other instrument.
Well, I'm about to start tuning it more, I guess. I'm going to do 3 Penny Opera, a trombone and bass in late July and August. But that's another podcast.
All right. You play bass too?
Yeah. I'm a better electric bass than a double bassist.
Yeah.
But that I'm like a self-taught bassist and guitarist.
Well, I hear in your cello playing, like, you're what, maybe... No, I know one other guy, but you're a really good bass player on the cello. You're not just, like, plucking roots, like...
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
you're
a bass player when you're playing cello and you're in that mode.
Sure, I take pride in being able to play bass lines.
Yeah, and you know where that... There's a thing... Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's not
right.
the instrument, it's the space that it takes up in the group.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, so my dad was my only trombone teacher
ever. That's right,
ever.
Sorry, I totally interrupted you.
No, it's fine. I mean, I never really had formal trombone lessons. I had some lessons with him, and then I kind of just, you know, it helped that he was my high school music teacher, and so I played in jazz band under his baton, you know what I mean? And then I remember kind of feeling like I was more talented at trombone than cello,
mm-hmm.
but I had all this, you know, formal training in cello. And so I went in that direction, but there was a time where I kind of was going to choose, like, between the two. I don't know. I like playing cello. I feel very lucky to be a cellist because it's an amazing instrument. But
yeah. But
now the trombone stuff is starting to pay off. But, yeah, so anyway, that's just a similarity I saw in it.
Yeah.
Between
sure.
us. When did you start your first band?
Let's see. I think my first band was a band called Tromos Theory, and it was...
What's Tromos?
I don't even...
Made-up words, or good band names?
It was a made-up word, and...
Were you thinking about Google searchability?
I don't think at that time...
Yeah, of course not.
That was probably, what, like 1996 or something? 1997?
Dang. Yeah.
It was just pretty much instrumental guitar, me on guitar, bass and drums,
yeah.
And we were really into Mr. Bungle and thought that having like 50 parts in each song with only them relating to each other a little bit and spastic, schizophrenic mm-hmm. stuff.
But sounds like I would like it.
Yeah, maybe. I listened back to it recently and I couldn't really tell if there was anything good about it or not, you know, because it there's the whole nostalgic thing, and you remember the parts and everything.
But, sure, right, of course.
I don't pull it out and be like, listen to this.
Right, of course.
This is the stuff right here.
That, neither do I for my, you know, very old projects.
Yeah.
Even like, Judgment Day, which was a huge part of my life for a long time, you know. I kind of enjoy having people know me for years, and then realize that I played in a metal band and be like, oh my god, this is like a totally different side.
Yeah.
When did you do start doing Versus Them?
That would have been after I graduated college and ended up back in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And I started writing songs on the piano and started making some recordings with Isaac Yates on the drums. And
sure.
Eventually just decided that we wanted to do this recording project live,
yeah.
And then it turned into a band from there.
Interesting. Okay. What I like to do with... actually, I got a couple things that I like to do with guests. First of all, some non-musical stuff.
Okay.
So, I know you've read the Harry Potter books. Do you know what house you're in?
I think I'm in Hufflepuff. And there's no shame in that.
Not at all. Hufflepuff, I feel like that would... If I wasn't in Slytherin,
yeah.
I would be in Hufflepuff, I think. They're the gardeners, you know?
Yeah, and they're the most accepting. You know,
right.
They bring everybody in.
They're well-equipped for, woke culture in Oakland and Alameda. Okay, the other thing I like to do is, I guess I like doing it. I was trying to think of a better way of saying it. But anyway, the calendar. Do you have stuff? First of all, like, in the spirit of promoting ourselves, and especially you, like, where should we listen to your music? And then also, what shows do you have coming up?
I think the only things in the calendar right now are with you subbing with Cosa Nostra.
Oh, right.
Should promote that, too.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm very excited to play with you guys, because I just saw you guys do your EP release, and my jaw was dropping. And then
thank you.
2 days later, you're like, you want to play with us?
Yeah, we are doing a group muse.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of a classical music house concert, and we're going to finagle our way into doing some classical music. It has to be half classical.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And Shayna got offered a very nice gig. And so she felt obliged to take it, and I couldn't argue. And so, thanks so much for stepping in. I think there's only 17 spots left for this group muse. So I think it would be a good idea to sign up. I encourage people to go through their website, groupmuse.com. You're going to hear me sing.
Really?
Do Dido's Lament.
Another thing I haven't heard you do.
I kind of just started doing it recently at karaoke.
Nice.
And one thing I really wish they had at karaoke was Dido's Lament, but they don't really have any classical. Like, the closest they have is, like, Time to Say Goodbye.
You know
what I mean? And maybe some musical stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally do Time to Say Goodbye.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. But anyway... So it's like, you know, live karaoke.
Yeah.
And it's for a relatively small house show audience, so there's not too much to be embarrassed by. And I think it will be fun. I like my, you know, groupmates get a kick out of it, I think. And plus, everyone else is saying, except the drummer. You know, they've all sang.
Oh, yeah, Keith's leads. Singing a tune, right?
Keith is singing a tune, Change Is Gonna Come, which is his own version, and it's fantastic. Did we do that at the last show?
Yeah, I think so. I remember him singing something. I can't remember if it was
I think
that
he was singing Jimi Hendrix.
Oh,
Spanish Castle Magic. Because that's part of the end medley that we
that's
have been
right.
doing. Okay, so that is April 9th in Richmond. At 7 o'clock, which means we play at 7:30 or 8.
I looked on the map. It's right by Wildcat Regional Park, which...
Oh, it's up in the hills.
Yeah, up in the hills. And that's a great hiking spot if
anybody
wants to go for a hike and then come see some chamber music.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to do... So half classical, some Purcell, some Bach, some 12-tone Anton Webern. And then we're going to do half originals by people in the group. So that's... Well, actually... We're going to do Change Is Going to Come. That's not an original, but it's an original arrangement. And there's some original material in there, because he also is, like, incorporating a poem from his mom and, I think, his own poetry. So there's, like, a spoken word portion. So that, and then Adam Thies and Shayna, we're going to still play one of her tunes, even though she's not there, but she'll be there in spirit, in musical spirits. And, it should be really fun. And then... April 13th, we're doing the Composer, Arranger, Performer Orchestra. We're calling the venue the Peralta Station Annex.
Oh. Is this the first concert they've hosted there?
It's not. They've done a couple. Crystal has been in charge. So Crystal Pescucci, she lives next door, and they call their place the Peralta Station.
Okay. Oh, and, so this is the Annex.
Yeah. But basically, it's a private venue. It's like a warehouse space. The dude who owns it or leases it is a professional photographer of alcohol. And so there's a lot of cool
there's
bottles.
There's so much alcohol there.
Yeah. And you've been with this group since the beginning.
Yeah.
Composer, Arranger, Performer, Orchestra. And we've done, what, we did a couple of your original songs.
Yeah, I love... You know, what's cool about this orchestra is it's kind of more like a band than an orchestra.
Yeah.
You know, playing in orchestras and classical music in general, usually it's someone is in charge, there's a conductor.
Yeah.
This is much more of a collective feel. Anybody can stop and make a musical note and go back, and it feels very democratic. And
We switch around, you know, playing first, second violin. You switch around playing the... violin, viola.
Yeah, and like everybody in the group is super cool. There doesn't seem to be any ego trips going on with anybody.
I try to keep my ego trips to myself.
Yeah.
But you I'm definitely having them.
You're doing a good job.
Okay, thank you.
But it's really fun playing in that group because, and I've brought kind of my pop stuff because I've always loved orchestral pop things like the Petty Troubles record. You know, that was kind of my dream to make. Songwriting stuff with a full orchestra backing and everything that brings. So,
and I was, you know, with the first Capo Chamber Orchestra show was at the Starry Plough, I think maybe in 2016. But and I had written a string symphony, you know, a piece for string orchestra, and I wanted to play it. And I figured the best way to do that was to invite anybody else who's playing to do their stuff too. Because ultimately, like, I feel this way a lot with different groups that I play in. I don't really care what else we play. If we're playing my stuff, then that's what I choose, and everybody else can choose what they want. And I was happy that you chose to do some poppy stuff, poppier stuff, because then that opened the door for other people to do it. So like we're doing some of Ariel's songs, and now she's done quite a few songs, and these her songs for the show are two brand new arrangements, which I'm really excited about. And you've also, just to throw this out there, you have recorded on Ariel's upcoming full length.
Gonna do some more on Tuesday, right?
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple
of... It's gonna be a great record.
Yeah. It's so awesome having you in that group, because I think it just raises the cumulative level of musicianship. Okay, so calendar is done.
Yeah, calendar's done.
Okay, now to listen to your music, and like, where should people like look for your stuff?
YouTube is probably the best. Although, no, and YouTube and Spotify, I would just search Matt Montgomery, and you'll find it. If you add Petty Troubles, or you can find my band Versus Them, on Spotify. We have one track with a lot of listens, so that's been fun to check in on that number every once in a while.
Oh, sure. How did you? Is that just a song that people like, or did you make it on a playlist, or do you know?
I worked on a guitar video game called Rocksmith for several years.
Right.
And it's a game that teaches you how to play guitar, and the controller is a real guitar, and the developers, if they had music, got to put it in, and one of the songs people seem to really like in the game. So if you search for that song, Impossible Dreams, on YouTube, I actually just saw somebody I've never met before performing it with their band in a club, and
That was one of the perks of the job. Huh?
Yeah, it's one of the huge perks is getting my music out to a much larger audience than I would have been able
that's
to.
That's awesome, actually. Damn, maybe I need a career change. No, I'm good. Okay, YouTube, Spotify. Do you have your own website?
Yeah, but it's mostly just links to other... MattMontgomery.com. Yeah. I have kind of a... Yeah, if you go to MattMontgomery.com, I've got a kind of demo reel that shows some of the video game scoring I've done.
Okay,
and,
cool.
And the Petty Troubles stuff and other random projects I've been a part of.
Yeah, so just talking about video game scoring, this is something that you have done a lot of in the past. I remember looking around and seeing a Nancy Drew.
Oh, yeah. I got to score a Nancy Drew video game.
That sounds fun.
Which is a lot of fun. With Kevin Manthe, I should say. I was additional music by, but I wrote a good deal of it.
Yeah. Is this something you're trying to do more of?
I'd be looking to get back into it a little bit. I worked for Ubisoft making Rocksmith, and I got to write a lot of music for both titles, Rocksmith and Rocksmith 2014. Which is really cool. But haven't gotten involved in anything since then. But if you're making a video game and looking for a composer, I'm here.
Yeah, you've got the setup.
Yeah.
Anything else before we talk about this Petty Troubles thing?
No, let's get into it.
Okay. So this is a song we're going to listen to. What's it called?
It's called Wishing on a Fallen Star. It's kind of a ballad. It's the last track on the 5-song EP. And it's probably my personal favorite of songs I've written. And, orchestrated by Brian Adam McCune and conducted by him, who he's also going to be our conductor.
Yeah.
On the 13th with the capo.
Yes.
Do you say capo or capo? I think capo sounds a little more sophisticated.
I think I want there to be multiple names. So, okay. Da capo.
Da capo.
Da capo chamber orchestra. Or I sometimes do say capo. I'm sure I said it earlier. Capo is, you know, the American version. Yeah, I mean, it does sound more sophisticated. And in doubt, I just say the composer, arranger, performer, orchestra.
Yeah, that's just such a mouthful. But...
Exactly. Yeah, Brian's coming to conduct. He's helping us a lot, actually, because another piece we're doing, Kevin Gordon's piece, Lighthouse, which is a great piece. It is made possible. The performance is made possible with the use of the conductor. And then he's conducting your song, and he's conducting one of my pieces. Goes really far.
Yeah, we've done our previous concerts without a conductor for the most part.
Yeah.
Sort of out of necessity, but it's fun playing without a conductor because I think not all groups can do that. It's,
yeah.
everybody has to have good time and good musical communication. It's
yeah.
fun to be able to do it, but at the same time, when you get a conductor who's as musical as Brian, it's really...
Yeah.
It makes things a lot easier.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think we're going to get a better... make better music with that this time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I just... Well, I'm on this recording as well, and I remember it being really fun, and this is with Awesome Orchestra, right? An enhanced Awesome Orchestra.
Yeah. And, oh, I should mention, this was all recorded live, all five songs. I did a Kickstarter, raised some money, but it's 26 people all in the same room, and as you can imagine, that's kind of expensive, so we had to do everything in one...
One day,
you know, one, I think we had 6 hours or something yeah. like that, and a break for lunch. So I think, you know, we ran through each song, hit a trouble spot or two, and then recorded two takes and did yeah. that for all five songs.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not perfect, but that was never the idea.
Right.
But being someone who's slaved in the DAW and edited things and made things too perfect, it was really a relief to, when the recording was done, it was mostly done.
Yeah, right.
We couldn't really do anything. I mean, Brendan West did a great job of mixing it, but couldn't fix anything, so
that's sort of a blessing in
it. Yeah, it totally yeah. was. And I've grown to like some of the quirks and stuff like that in there, you know, like
yeah.
a lot of famous recordings have flaws in them, and it's almost yeah. become trivia and
yeah, absolutely,
stuff like that.
Okay, well, fantastic. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
This is When You Wish Upon a Star.
That's Sorry. A different wishing on a fallen star.
Excuse me. Okay. Thanks for listening. And remember, it's not celloist, it's cellist.